Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. I would like to share with you something that I trust will be a blessing to your heart. You are not alone in the world. And if you've accepted Jesus, you know that you're part of God's family. You are part of a beautiful organism called the body of Christ, the Church of the Living God. And so what I'd like to talk about is the communion of the saints, that regardless of what season of your life you may be in, sometimes there's seasons of great activity and action and movement and a lot of things going on, and other times there's very quiet seasons where it seems a lot is not occurring. And sometimes even in the midst of great activity, there can be a loneliness of heart for real communion. And that word used for communion actually is the Greek word koinonia, and it comes from an adjective meaning common, and it literally means a common participation or sharing in something. And I'm going to share five different meanings or aspects of what koinonia means in terms of Scripture. But for right now, I'd like to share just the dictionary definition of communion. According to Webster, the dictionary defines communion as the act of sharing, possession in common, participation in communion of interest. Secondly, it's the act of sharing one's thoughts and emotions with another or others, intimate converse, in other words, a very close relationship. The third meaning is an intimate relationship with deep understanding. That's wonderful, isn't it? Just by definition. And fourthly, it's a group of Christians professing the same faith and practicing the same rites, a denomination. And fifthly, it's a sharing in or celebrating of the Eucharist or Holy Communion, which we call the Lord's Supper. And so the times in our lives when we can feel perhaps isolated or lonely, we can take great comfort in the fact that we are part of Christ's body, that the saints who've gone before, all the saints who are alive presently, that we are part of God's family. And so I'd like to share five different aspects, if you will, of the meaning of this word koinonia or communion. The first is an expression for a community of goods. For example, as we find in Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. Let me share with you what the word says. Second chapter of Acts, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat or their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so in this meaning of the word koinonia, it was a community of goods. It was socioeconomic practice, if you will. And of course, that was for that particular point in time. And there are, I know, probably some Christian communities over the centuries that have endeavored to do the same thing. But the reasons for it were obviously an unselfish enthusiasm for the things of God and not self-interest. And they were of the strong belief that the Lord Jesus was coming back very soon, his imminent return. And of course, there were some poor Christians in Jerusalem, and they were cut off from self-support because they were ostracized from the synagogue, which of course was, they were not accepted. So the first meaning of koinonia then is a community of goods. And the second one is a common participation in sharing and in mutual enjoyment of material things. And of course, there was a reference in the Word of God about contributions of finances to help the poor brethren. You remember at one point Paul said he was headed back to Jerusalem to minister, to bring the offerings of those to share of the church in his travels to help the poor brethren at Jerusalem. And he gave special emphasis to this, that Christians everywhere were members one of another. We were to share in each other's wealth, whether spiritual or material, when there was a need that was to be met. In fact, in the early church, there was organized deacons, if you will, diakonia, and that was a daily distribution to the poor. So I've shared with you now a couple definitions of what koinonia means, and those first two are rather technical, but there's a larger and deeper sense of koinonia that we would want to focus on today. And the thirdly is a mutual sharing of privilege. How beautiful, how wonderful is this? Because Christians all over the world, regardless of what nation we live in, regardless of what country, whatever economic status, whatever our background, that we manifest our communion or fellowship, if you will, out of a consciousness and awareness of a common participation in certain great spiritual blessings, which are the result of being saved and being born again, a member of Christ's body in the earth. Those who believe in Christ enjoy a common participation in our Savior, which binds us together in holy unity. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, Paul says, "I beseech you, brethren, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And we know that with this comes covenant blessings and promises. He wants us to be in unity, that there should be no disparity, there should be no strife or division or things that would divide the body. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is," the scriptures say, "for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is as the precious ointment that went down the head of Aaron, even down to the skirts of his garment. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Praise God. And the fourth aspect of what communion means is a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. You see, with privilege and blessing, there are also responsibilities. The root meaning means a partnership either in giving or receiving. Paul prays on behalf of Philemon that the sharing of his faith may become effectual. In other words, that the love inspired by his faith may come into full operation. And we see that happens when works are joined with faith. Faith without works is dead. Isn't that what the scripture says? And this concept of koinonia is expressed in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 16. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so acts of love or charity spring out of our Christian faith. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Didn't Jesus say that? And then fifthly, I'd like to share that all the foregoing concepts of koinonia that I've shared with you describe a mutual sharing of one another. And that is the beauty of the mystery of the church. We are one in Christ Jesus. There's no male. There's no more female, or Jew or Greek. The highest koinonia, of course, is that exalted partnership with God. John speaks of this higher koinonia in 1 John 1 and 3 when he writes, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Praise God. And so our fellowship with one another depends, of course, on this previous fellowship with God. Verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And so it is still, if you will, a mutual sharing, a reciprocal giving, as well as receiving. Jesus said in John 15:4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." And the mutual activity can be summed up in two words, if you will, grace and faith. Grace is God's spontaneous and unstinted divine giving, and faith is our action in receiving grace, surrendering ourselves without any reserve unto the Lord. Well, my time has flown, and we will continue this on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and as always, if you have prayer needs, I invite you to write. The announcer will share our contact information, and if you choose the convenience of email, please do share your mailing address so I can respond personally by letter. I don't have much time to spend on emails, but I will always pray and acknowledge receipt. Thank you for joining me. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.